As we just hear your worship, we see everybody praying, and we know that we can all come to you independently. And as we're singing, I've got three little girls at my feet that are pushing to try to stand with me and sing with me, and pushing each other out of the way and trying to get my full attention, where that's the same thing that we do for you, but you're way bigger than we are. You're big enough to take all of us in, that you don't have to just pick one of us at a time to sit and dance with and sing with and have fellowship with. We can all come to you together, as big as we are, as many of us as there is. You can handle it all. You can handle every single one of us. So we just thank you for being so big and glorious that you're able to do that. As we come together again this morning, we're praying for our little ones downstairs. This church just doubles in size with all the little ones running around, and what an amazing weekend that they are building upon the foundation of your truth and your realities and the things that you say are your standards, that they're going to be able to take home with them and talk to their parents, maybe their sisters, their brothers. Maybe they can take it to school and show somebody the light of who you are. You're instilling that foundation in them at such a young age that it's going to be very valuable. They're going to be very far ahead of some of us on the race that we've been running, that they're going to be able to change the world in mighty ways. It takes one person to change somebody's life, and there's many little souls downstairs that are going to be able to do that. So we just thank you for that. We thank you for letting it run smoothly downstairs this weekend with as many kids as it is. We just thank you for all the helpers that have been down there just sacrificing their own time that they could be sitting up here doing something different, that they're down there just helping them little kids. Again, we just thank you for all the teachers that have come in here this week to just present what you've laid on them and being obedient to you and the Holy Spirit on what they have to say. We just thank you, for you are an awesome God. And I just pray that you just use me as a vessel to pour out your words, your truth. I have nothing that anybody needs to hear. Nobody can learn anything of value or wisdom from me, but they can learn it all from you. So allow me just to put myself aside, to step forward, and just be used by you to wrap this all up. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to do it different than anyway, because I don't even know where to begin. There was so much information this weekend that it's literally drowning from a fire hose. Yeah, your brain cannot comprehend it all. I was able to take some time this spring and go down to Kansas and spend some time with some guys. And we were able to sit together and talk about things. And one of the things that Doug Gray brought up was illustrations. How can we bring more illustrations in to the applicable side of what God's Word says, and how can we do things? And Doug's great about it because he's a redneck hillbilly, like he says, that can come up with things that make sense with our redneck hillbilly minds. It's just how well God fits that things. So I'm going to have Eric just throw some things up on the screen that that we talked about this weekend, that I was able to, my mind works like Doug's in a lot of simplicity ways, that sometimes we laugh at each other that we're not the smartest people, but we just understand stupid, silly things. So mine is pictures. And I go to Adam's class, which some of you were downstairs, so some of you ladies, that this will be, I don't know what Christy was able to teach you and talk with you about things downstairs, but Adam talked about snares and traps and pathways and how Satan will trip us up, how he will use snares. The whole purpose of a snare is to catch something by surprise, to that somebody has purposely set. And that is what the enemy is doing to us. The enemy is purposely setting. Satan is going around just like what Joel talked about. Here again, funny how the Holy Spirit will tie everything together this weekend. That he is standing up there at God, petitioning to God, hey, don't you see this? Screw up. Guess what? I'm going to set this trap for him of lust or luxury or self-righteousness or arrogance or whatever it may be. I'm going to go throw this on the path. And then when Matt gets caught in it, I'm going to come up to God. I'm going to say, hey, God, did you see what Matt? Look at it. He's entangled in that trap. He's stuck in that. Look at how arrogant he's being. Look at how prideful he's being. Look at how foolishness he's being to everybody around him. He's doing no good for you. So he's setting traps for us. And each one of us have experienced traps. Each one of us have traps that we will fall into that are on that path. In Matthew, it talks about And it's talking about salvation, but it's talking about the way is narrow. The path is narrow that leads to righteousness. The path is broad and wide that leads to death and destruction. But we can apply that to our spiritual path as well, that those snares, our path is already little, and we all know that. It's hard. From the pressures that we're getting from this world, from the just the things that want to pull us off of that path, at times it feels our path is just so small and narrow that we're just blinded and we can't see anything. It's just, it's almost claustrophobic to us. And yet at that point, we hit a snare. At the smallest point on that path is where Satan's going to say, hey, guess what, I'm going to get you. Because I'm going to get you when you're tired. I'm going to get you when you're down on yourself. I'm going to get you when you're worried about this. I'm going to get this when you're relying on the world instead of me. And I'm going to put my trap right there. Because I can see that you're failing. But what does Jesus say? What do we get? Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. When I'm walking through that valley and it's dark, there's a cool, I don't even remember where it's at, but it's in the Bible, and there was somebody that built, some nation that built, or a territory in the Old Testament that built their town up on a hill in between a little canyon and rocks, and then in the face of a rock, so they were impenetrable. And when we are walking in that impenetrable path, and those snares are there, we're not going to be able to see them unless we have the Holy Spirit that we've been talking with all weekend walking with us with that lamp. And the cool part about it is he's just not handing us a flashlight and saying, hey, Dan, here you go. Go figure it out yourself. I'll give you the flashlight. Maybe I'll even give you some spare batteries. And I'll let you walk on this path by yourself. That's saying, no, I'm going with you. I'm giving you the helper. I'm giving you my Holy Spirit that I've just learned all weekend about. I'm walking it with you, right alongside of you. I'm not just expecting you to go down that dark, hollow, empty, ugly path by yourself. So that's my picture with Adam's men's class in a picture, is a path that's full of snares, but God will not leave us. He will comfort us. He will walk with us. He gives us that helper to be able to see when those snares are standing right in front of us. Okay, what you got for the next picture? Okay, flower pots. Watering. So, Doug talked about the water flowing through a hose into a bucket. Okay, and I'm going to take that one step further. That the water, being the Holy Spirit, going to fill that bucket to fill our souls. When we look and we see this picture, and if my soul is that watering can, am I pouring out to others? Am I pouring out to the dead, decaying, drought-stricken flowers that are around me? God gives me that freely. But do I just sit on that and I intake that for myself and I just hold on to it selfishly? Because the drought's coming. I know the drought's coming. But I want that water for myself. See, I think that's a position that God has placed every single one of us in this room and this weekend for. I think it was Roger maybe 2 years ago in Kansas that was talking about the storehouses being full in the drought in Egypt. When the famine was coming on the land, they were packing them storehouses full. Packing because they knew the famine was coming. So that way they could provide for the people when the famine hit. And that's no different than the Holy Spirit in our souls with that watering can. Are we going to, when the famine hits the land, because the famine's coming, I'm sorry, we all know it. We're not going to sit up here and say why or what. We just know it's coming. This world is evil. It gets worse every day. There's no excuse for it other than you know that it's evil. And like Roger said, it's all part of God's plan. It's working out. Don't question it. Just make them changes in our life that God has told us how to apply ourselves to these situations and roll with it and go. Don't fret it. Don't worry about it. Don't have anxiety about it. just continue to use the Holy Spirit on weekends like this. We have one-year Bibles that there's a few of them sitting out back that if that's something that you feel like you would like to have, they're free. Take one off the back desk back there. It allows you to start your morning or end your day with the Word of God. Because what you're doing when you read this every morning is you're putting that in your watering can. God will choose something out of here. The Holy Spirit will choose something out of here that He knows will work on you, that you'll be able then to, as Fassel talked about, have it as a cud and chew on it all day long. You'll read something and you'll say, all right, I'm going to ponder that and I'm going to think about that all day long and I'm just going to continue to regurgitate and chew on it. It sounds gross, but it's a really cool analogy because it's just like a piece of gum. You just keep chewing and chewing and chewing. It doesn't do anything with it, but it just keeps going and going and going and you just keep chewing it out of habit almost. And that's what the Word of God can be. If you continue to do that every morning, it can become that habit to where then you're thinking about spiritual things, you're thinking about the Word of God throughout the day, so when you see that drought-stricken flower next to you, that you know, hey, this guy needs a little bit of a drink of water. Do I have the eyes to see that that guy needs that drink of water? Because God has placed in me the liquid material, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God to pour out onto that flower. So, that's Matthew. My head went to Matthew chapter 7, 12. Chapter 7, verse 12. When you could call it the golden rule or whatever you would like, and everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. If I'm thirsty and I need a drink, I want somebody to offer me a glass of water. If somebody comes into my home, I want to ask them, do they need a drink? Do they want a glass of water? Would they like something to drink? Would they need something? Why do we hold on to the things that we know are valuable when we see the people around us are starving and thirsty? The other one is Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, says to bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6, 2, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. That's something that He's commanding us to do. So if we're sitting here with a full tank, or even if we ain't so full, but we've got a little drop of liquid left in that bucket, God expects us to be able to pour that out to somebody, to give them that. That's what we're doing. We're encouraging one another. We're building one another up. That's how we're supposed to have the eyes like Jesus. We're supposed to be able to see. We're supposed to go out and do His work. Do you think if Jesus had any little bit of water and He seen somebody thirsty, do you think He'd give it to him? He would. No matter if it was His last drop and He knew He had miles and miles along in a desert to go, He'd give it to him. Because do you not think that God won't provide for you? Okay, next slide. A cup. So Roger talked, and I don't know why. This is just my brain not always picturing things, but what an awesome picture of the Father's will and the Father's plan stuck inside of a cup. How simple to think of a cup full of something. Because that's what it's full of. Okay? Sometimes when you take a drink out of that cup, it might be hot. Sometimes the situation when you take a drink and it's part of God's plan or it's God's will, that might be a little hot to you. You might think, whoa, back up a little bit. This is uncomfortable. This hurts my tongue when I take a drink. This affects me like I don't really want it to because it's getting me out of my comfort zone. That's a little hot, or it might be a little cold. Say, whoa, God, that was a little much, wasn't it? That hurt a little bit going down. Like eating ice cream and you get the ice cream headache kind of and your throat starts hurting. It's a little cold. It's too much. I can't handle it. That was too fast. Too much, too fast. Or sometimes it can be something in that cup that changes our mind. We all know those things that there's mind-altering substances we can put in cups. God can do that too. God can be that mind-altering substance in our cup. The thing is that Roger said is that, and maybe Joel said it this, I think Joel maybe said it this morning, that we can do nothing wrong under the Spirit of God. And I'm sure you say that all the time anyway because it sounds like something you'd say. So no matter what we do to take a drink, with that Spirit of God that fills us up, we can't do wrong. That is the confidence that we are supposed to walk forth in. Knowing that if I take that action, because here's the thing about God, He ain't going to pour that cup down my throat. I need to pick that cup up and take a drink because I'm thirsty. It takes that action, and if I trust that, God, You fill that cup with Your provisions, You will provide. You will make it work. I don't have to worry about it. I can step back, and I can just let the Holy Spirit do its job. Because that's what He does. That's what He's supposed to do. The Holy Spirit's going to go out and take care of all these problems for me anyway. Why does God always say to glorify me at the end? Because it puts me out of the way. That's the whole goal. The whole goal for God is to set us aside, get us to see ourselves in the back. Okay, what we got next? All right, Dan didn't know we were using this one until this morning. We were sitting around. It's hard to see, but that's a rear end differential that is full of grease. It looks like Vaseline. Okay? A rear end is not supposed to have Vaseline-type grease, right? It's not supposed to be pumped full. It's supposed to have oil in it because oil then can take the friction away, lubricate, move out like it's supposed to keep everything functioning correctly, right? So we take that picture. Do we think that we are doing good things? Because you can take that picture and say, that thing's noisy. That's got a weird vibration. That feels weird. Something's going on. I'm going to take something and I'm going to put a Band-Aid on it. I'm going to try to fix it my way. Right? What do our problems do when we try to fix them our way? When we put a Band-Aid on something that doesn't do it? It works for a short time. For a short time, it's okay, right? It's trying to do a good thing the wrong way without accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. Unfortunately, no amount of good that we do on this earth is done correctly. It may seem like it for a short time. We can fill it full of grease. We can lubricate it for the time being. But is there any eternal value in that? It just turns to nothing. It will not function correctly. It will run out. It's like hiding that lamp. Jesus calls us to be the light of the world, and He says, don't put your lamp underneath of a basket. So we're taking all of our good works, all of our things that we're doing temporarily and trying to fix these problems and putting these temporary fixes in and things that I think will work into something that's not designed to be that way. And then I'm closing it up because people will not be able to see the light of Jesus through it because the Holy Spirit's not in it. That's the thing about it. We love the idea of the Holy Spirit, what He can do for us. We love it. We know that it's true, that He brings us that truth. He brings us all of that things that we've covered this weekend. But if we have not accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, that stuff's just like squirting grease in the side of that, on all them gears. It's not going to function correctly. We cannot function our walk correctly without the Holy Spirit. No matter how hard we try to do the right thing and do good works, it's still going to end up burnt with the wheel falling off. Okay, next one. The Tin Man. That was what I was hoping. I was sitting there last night trying to think of all the things that I could think of for illustrations. And I'm like, all right, God, well, good. If this is the path You want me on, You got to give me something from Joel this morning for an illustration because it's going to have to be immediate. So when he talked about the oil as a picture of the Holy Spirit, the Tin Man, right? So what's the Tin Man? Without his oil, he's squeaky and noisy. Right? Without his oil, he's rusted shut. It's hard to work. It's unfunctionable. Without the Holy Spirit in our life, we're rusted shut. We will not function correctly. We will think we're doing good. We'll keep motating. That's a cool thing. You could do a whole bunch of stuff off of this one. You could be doing a whole bunch of things. You could just be working great. You're good and lubed up, just going along. And then pretty soon, you start getting, that path gets narrower and narrower, and you get ensnared in the snare. And what happens? That oil starts to run up, and you're not getting lubed up anymore. And there he is, and he's stuck. And he's there. And it won't work. Until we what? We confess our sins. The scarecrow comes over. Dorothy comes over. I always just have the picture of the scarecrow pumping him up with his arm as Dorothy's squirting him in. He sits there and he pumps him up. That's another cool picture of the body of the church. This is the body of the church like the scarecrow? Sitting there helping Dorothy pump that oil into the Tin Man to make him function correctly, to make him walk correctly, to make him do what he needs to do every day. So without our oil, it's impossible to work. Without the Holy Spirit in our lives, we will be stuck and rusted shut. And that goes back to our theme verse of John 14, 26 and 27. That wasn't our theme, but that's one I tied into it. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. He's going to bring them to remembrance and he's going to squirt a little more oil on them. Because I'm getting squeaky. My people around me are getting annoyed by the squeak that's in my joints. So am I just selfish enough and blind enough just to keep walking and I don't feel the pain of my joints tightening up? And pretty soon I'm moving slower and slower and slower. But it's like that frog that's in a pot of boiling water that all of a sudden they don't realize it. And pretty soon they're floating dead. And then they're pretty soon I am stuck in my stride. And I need that oil. So I have you, the church, the body of Jesus Christ, to come help start pumping me up. Pumping me up. That's what this weekend is. We can sit here and selfishly we can try to take in anything that we can take in. We just feed, take. But if we walk out of here and we don't continue to be each other's scarecrow, each one of us is going to end up on the yellow brick road stuck and rusted shut like the Tin Man by those snares that the enemy has set. We're called to look out for one another. We're going to kind of cover that when we do our communion. That what we're supposed to function as, our unity as a church, how we're supposed to be there for one another, what we're supposed to do for one another to help each other stay out of those snares, stay lubricated with the correct product. Because if they would have put grease in that oil cup and give it to the Tin Man, he'd have just been a slimy mess. There's something that I'm going to read that I took from, like I mentioned Friday night, I like the United States Ranger Handbook. It's just something cool that I like to read that I pick things to and from. And you've heard many times probably that you can picture it as that we are the army of God. We go out here, we are his foot soldiers. We are out every day in the battle, advancing his kingdom, doing his thing. Sometimes I can relate that back to the common folk, the privates of the army. There's many of them, there's a lot of them, right? But there's also the Special Forces Department of the military. Each branch has their own. I look at that and say, you are faithful sitting here. You are different from the world. You are different from what the world classifies as a Christian because you take time out of your crazy life. You take time to travel 1,800 miles. You take time to drag your 5 kids across multiple states. You take time out of your busy life to come here on a weekend, which is not normal in the world we live in. We've all been looked at funny or had somebody say something to us because of what we say we do. You go to church how many times a week? You went out to Washington for 2 days for what? You drug your kids down snowy, icy roads just to go do what? You fly to Papua New Guinea and sleep in a jungle hut with spiders and snakes for what reason again? I look at that as being in the special force division of the military. Because it's the harder. What are you doing that for? Because it's the harder thing to do. The word ranger. Recognizing that I volunteered my life as a follower of Jesus, fully knowing the hazards of my chosen profession. I will always endeavor to uphold the prestige, honor, and the high esprit de corps of the Christian. A is for acknowledging the fact that a follower of Jesus is more elite soldier who arrives at the cutting edge of the battle by prayer and faith, knowing that he is not alone. I accept the fact that as a follower of Jesus, my fellow Christians expect me to move further, faster, and fight harder than any other soldier. And as never, never shall I fail my fellow brothers and sisters. I will always keep myself mentally alert, physically strong, morally straight, and I will shoulder more than my share of the task, whatever it may be, 100% and then some. Gallantly, is G, will I show the world that I am a beloved child of the King, that I am a specially selected and well-trained soldier. My courtesy to others and my dedication to my God through the weapons He has provided me shall set the example for others. E is energetically, will I meet the enemies of my God? I shall defeat them on the field of battle, for I am better trained, and I will fight with all of my might. Surrender is not a valid thought or word. I will never leave a fallen Christian who has fell into the hands of the enemy. Under no circumstances will I embarrass my God. R is readily, will I display the intestinal fortitude required to fight on to the promise of my King and complete the mission, though I be the lone survivor. That sums up what we are called to do. That sums up how we will go get our POWs. You guys think Iowa is flat. And one neat thing about it is being as flat as it is, at night when you drive by and you see all those lights sprinkled throughout the horizon, picture that as souls in the darkness. Look at how easy they are to see. Yet we just choose not to take the road to them. You made the comment that Iowa has many roads. There are many roads. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. There are many roads to the POW encampments. Many that we drive by every day on our way home to our comfort, to our stability, to the things that we know. And yet we go to bed at night and those lights shine in the distance. What are we going to do? Obedience. Be obedient to what God has called you to do. Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for giving us such simple, silly illustrations that show your power, that show your strength, that show that we are not meant to do it on our own. We cannot do it on our own. Without you, we are nothing. Father, I just pray that you give us the courage to take the Ranger medallion and pin it to our chest. In the fleshly, worldly aspect, we are nothing close to what those men and women do. But for spiritually and an eternity mindset, we are just that. We have conquered the training. We have conquered the depths, the hard things, the trials, the tribulations. We've all come through them because we're all sitting here. Not one of us has failed. Father, lay on our hearts to be on the offensive, to go out, to go save those souls that are burning so bright in the darkness that we can't do anything but go get them. Give us that burden on them. That's part of a burden that we need to share together, that we can go out and we can go proclaim your name to the people who need to hear it. All it's going to take is the simplicity of who you are. People want to hear that. They want to hear the good news. You do not refer to it as the good news for nothing. We're sick of hearing bad news. We're sick of hearing about bad things and problems and issues and situations. It's time we hear good news, and it's time we be your hands and your feet and we go out and do that. As we lay our heads on our pillows tonight, I just pray that you allow each one of us to examine the state of our own souls. If there's something that we need re-energized, if there's something that we need re-motivated in us, now's the time. You've been saying that the harvest is plentiful for many, many years. We don't know when that's going to end, and we don't want to miss our part in that. Father, I just thank you for such an amazing weekend followed with just so many great people, so many just wonderful conversations and encouragement and teachings and just edifying and chewing on and stepping on toes like only you can do. And I just pray that we do not quench the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, that we just feed you every day and allow you to just rage through our body, and we don't have anything but you come forth out of us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.